Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks for listening. Why would a container ship flying a Philippine flag change course suddenly in the dark early morning hours of June 17th and slam into a U.S. Navy destroyer? It was a mystery then.
I'm not going to speculate what happened, but it will be a full and thorough investigation. But for me to say what happened at 2:20 in the morning yesterday, unknown.
And this event remains just as much a mystery today. It's the voice there of Commander of the U.S. Navy's 7th Fleet, Vice Admiral Joseph Acoin. The USS Fitzgerald suffered 7 fatal uniform Navy casualties. Pictures of the severe damage have not helped to resolve the many questions surrounding the incident. The American and Japanese governments have launched separate investigations. The container ship was bound for Japan. The U.S. Navy's 7th Fleet plays a significant role in the Pacific, as both China and the Philippines have signaled a more aggressive stance in the region. Reuters reporter Tim Kelly joins us from Tokyo. Tim, welcome to The Takeaway.
Hello.
Are the sea lanes in any way crowded between the Philippines and Japan, and in terms of what the 7th Fleet is typically patrolling?
Well, where the incident took place was on the approach to Tokyo Bay. And in Tokyo Bay, you have Tokyo, and also you have the port of Yokohama, which are Japan's 2 biggest container ports. So at any one time, you have around 400 vessels in that small area. So it's one of the busiest waterways in Asia. So it was about 56 miles from the Japanese coast, and it was on its way to Yokosuka, where the vessel is home ported.
And for a container ship to make such an abrupt move, this seems unusual to me. I mean, a container ship would really need a head of steam to even have a chance of ramming a military ship like a destroyer.
Yeah, so it's one of the things that has been noted is the abrupt U-turn that the ACX Crystal, the Philippine ship, made. There's been some discrepancies on the time. So the Philippine ship reported the collision at 2:25 a.m. However, after further investigation, they said that the collision actually happened at 1:30. So there was a 55-minute delay in the ship reporting the collision. So that's one of the areas that they're looking at in the investigation, what happened during that 55 minutes. And within that time frame, this is when the ship was making its, what some say, an erratic movement.
And the crew, how did they keep this ship from sinking? A container ship outweighs a destroyer by a significant amount.
Well, the Filipino ship is about almost 4 times the size of the U.S. destroyer. It caused a lot of damage on the top of the ship, but also it has a bulbous point that protrudes below water and caused a gash below there. So a lot of water rushed into the ship, and then the crew would have had to go into damage control, close down the watertight compartments, and then try and pump the water out. So it was a very close call. I think Admiral Acoin, during his press conference on Sunday, noted that the ship was very close to sinking.
Is this a sign of what the 7th Fleet is going to have to be dealing with in waters that are suddenly very different in terms of sort of strategic tension in the Pacific right now? And we've already had some back and forth between the Trump administration and China and the Trump administration and the Philippines. And does the Philippines even have an explanation of what happened here?
No explanation has come forth from any of the parties involved or investigating. It's still at a very early stage. You know, the 7th Fleet has been based in Japan since World War II, and Yokosuka is the home of the Ronald Reagan, the 7th Fleet's carrier. So they're very used to operating in Japanese waters. And while there have been incidents in the past involving U.S. naval ships striking smaller fishing vessels, this kind of incident is a very rare thing, and it's the first time it's happened in Japanese waters. In fact, you have to go back 50-odd years to find anything that's similar anywhere in the world. So, you know, the 7th Fleet has a lot of attention in Japan, as you noted. Tension within the region is deepening. There's growing tension with China and then North Korea. So the 7th Fleet is playing a very significant role in if you like, managing those tensions or trying to bolster security in the region, also in concert with the Japanese Maritime Self-Defense Force. And cooperation between the two is increasing. But these kind of incidents, well, I say it's very rare. One of the mysteries of this is how a naval vessel at sea, albeit at nighttime, but the skies were clear, the sea was not rough. How can a collision between these two vessels, large vessels, occur in those conditions? That's something that, as yet, we don't know the reason to, and the investigations will have to clear up.
Tim Kelly of Reuters speaking to us from Tokyo. Thanks so much, Tim.
Thank you.